Okay, here we go. Mr. Cohen is here. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaroy. Okay. What are we sober? Okay, we're up to Minhech L'Shein. Okay, Pasuk Tes. Okay, Pasuk Tes, we're up to the Rashis. So let's learn Pasuk Tes. We have to just really two Pesukim. I'll read the Pesukim again, Pasuk Tes and Pasuk Yud, more of Alois on page 406. Page 406, more of Alois, Kitzios Kol, Bigdoisech. All of your garments are perfumed with these three different ingredients, more in Alois and Kitzios. And then it says, Min Heichle Shein, Mine Simich, Min Heichle Shein, Mini Simichucha, from a hechel of shame, a hechel in the abode of ivory, is the form of joy. It's a very hard pasuk to really translate. So we do one more pasuk. Benayis melachim biki roisecha mitzvah sheigal lemincha bechesem ayfir. Let's read the mitzvah stuff again. Even though we did this, let's mitzvah stuff again. Just to get to recap, Pasuk Tes, and the Mitzvah Stav appears on page 407. 407, the Mitzvah Stav called Big Dasecha Kulam Yum Mikutarim Bimine Boisem. All of your garments will be perfumed with different types of fragrances. Gichein Derech Hagedolim Legamer Bevoisem Lohavi Lohem Horeach. That is the Derech of.
On garments.
On their garments, okay. So and the kings, obviously Malchus, they had a special, very exotic, expensive types of perfumes. Okay, then it goes on to say, Pasuk, next part is therefore next page, Mitzudas David Min Heichle Shein. Okay, I'm reading from the Mitzudas David, page 408. Min Hasimcha Verachav Sadas. So he's adding some words here to the pasuk from joy, harchava sadas sheyesh sheyesh, that there is lemi to a person sheyoyshe who sits beheichle shein min asimcha hahi yelcha min hadvarim asher yisamchu oischa bohem. You will have joy equivalent to people who sit in these beautiful towers, palaces that are made from the most expensive materials. Ritzoyne loymar. This is nothing more than a metaphor. It's about a kol mine simcha sheyiyu lecha, all of the different types of joy which you will experience, you, according to Mitzudah Stav, learns with dealing with the Melech HaMashiach. Mitzudah Stav is the Melech HaMashiach. All the different types of joy you will experience, you me'ein ha-simcha sheyesh l'mi, will be a me'ein. It will be similar to the joy sheyesh l'mi sheyesh l'beheich le'eshen, who sit in the palaces of Shein, shehi simcha gidoyla umeruba. So what's the precise translation of the pasuk? That you, the Melech HaMashiach, min, you will, yeah, we have to add some words. We have to add words into the pasuk. You will experience joy. You will experience achava sadas. And your joy in achava sadas will be similar. It will be a me'ein similar to the joy that wealthy people, princes, people who are living in palaces of shame, that's the type of joy. Mini, that's me'ein. Your joy will be similar to their joy. So again, in this pasuk, I think you have to translate the pasuk backwards. You have to say is mini simchucha. The yud is really extra. It's like min simcha. Here it's simchucha. Your joy will be similar to the joy that people, princes, and kings enjoy when they sit in their palaces of shame. Okay, the next pasuk, the last pasuk on this page, pasuk in the Mrs. David. Right now, let's see, right now. Let's see, well, let's see, let's see. Let's see right now, that way. Let's see the Mrs. David right now. The Arabs, they have virgins. The 70 virgins. Yeah, you're right. It's really a pella. I don't know. Let's hear them to the stuff. There's the next pasuk, and then it says be. Now, if you look at the nikud be be. I'm sorry. Be ye. Now, if you notice that the Metzudas David, the Nikud in the art scroll is not the same as the Nikud in the text. In the text, it's B, it's a Chirik. See, the Yud is really silent. The Yud is a Chirik Mole. B, Ke, Roy, Secha. In the Metzudas David, it doesn't say that. It says Be, Yik, Be, Yi, Ke, Roy, Secha. The Yud has a dot. There's a world of a difference between what it says in the Mitzvah Zav and what it says in our text, and we'll explain that in a moment.
You have two Shvaim, the Rosh Hamilah, like B, Yerushalayim.
Oh.
So you don't say B, Yerushalayim.
It's B. B, the Yud is a...
There's no Shva on the Yud.
They take it out.
Fine, right.
Okay, let's see, we're going to see. There's going to be a difference, we're going to see one moment. So, okay, we're going to see one moment, this very elaborate Mincha Shai. Okay, over here it says in the Nikud is be ye kiroi secha be hashefachois hayikorois. The Yud is part of the Shoresh. Yokar. Yokar means precious. La Yehudim oisa oira simcha v'sason v'kar. Yokar means something precious. So it says be hashefachois hayikorois in these precious, very important, distinguished maidservants. Bohen with them, ye you af. Amongst your servants will be very fine and honorable people, will be binois mulachim, will be the daughters of kings. This week's parasha. In this week's parasha, Rashi says, this week's parasha. Right, and it says something about that in this week's parasha as well. Better I should be a shifcha in the house of Avram than marry a king, be a queen in another nation. So the people in the world wanted so much to be part, to be connected to Avraham Avinu and his family, they were willing to be palakshim. They're willing to be palakshim by Klal Yisrael, better than be queens amongst the umais ha'olam. Okay, so we have over here be yikiroi secha be ashvachos hayikarois bohen. Yiyu af benois mulachim nitke. Then it goes on to say nitzva shegal hamalkot tia nitzva bimincha. The queen. Ramachol, who's that? Ramachol, is that you?
No.
Who's? No, I'm talking online. No, I'm talking to online to Michal. Michal, you're upside down. Michal, you're upside down, you drive me crazy like this.
He's doing calisthenics.
You're getting me mixed up over here. I'm singing Oilam Hafuch. I can't hear, also I can't hear you. I spent a lot of time on this yesterday trying to fix this computer. I really spent time and I failed. After all that time I spent, I still couldn't get the sound to work on this. So, Michal, I can't hear you. I'm not sure I can hear you. I'm not sure I can really hear you. Very schwach. I don't know why the sound is so low. Try this. All right, it's a little better now. All right, not bad. All right, not that bad. I'm going to call you upside down. You're still upside down. All right. No, you don't have to turn it off. You can turn it on. But I'd rather see you upside down than not see you at all. All right. Further over here, it says, Nitzva Shegal Hamalka Tia Nitzava Bimincha Bibinecha. Your queen will sit at your right side. Mikushetes Bechese Moifir with gold of Oifir, v'akolu mashal l'goydel hatanug v'hamem shalah. The Mitzudah stuff over here says that don't take these things literally. These are all metaphors to describe the greatness of the greatness of what Klal Yisrael, the Melech HaMashiach will experience. Look at the Mitzudot Tzion. Some of these words are very, very important. Bi Kiroi Secha, Miloshim Yikar. Okay, that's a very important translation according to the Mitzudot stuff. Over here, it means honor, Yokar. Shegal, Kainti Kore HaIsha, Ki HaIsha, a wife. Ki Miyuchedes L'Mishgol. She is designated for marital relations. Can you imagine? It's a very graphic term. It's a shocking thing to say this about anyone. Certainly about the Melech HaMashiach, and certainly about Talmidei Chachamim, but yeah, that is what the Mitzudas David says. And these are Mishalim, very, very strange. V'chein likewise, v'hash shegal yosheves etzloi. Okay, that refers, I think first to the Nebuchadnezzar. V'chesem ha'yfir, this is a very important Mitzudas scene as well. V'chesem ha'yfir, the Mitzudas Sion on page 408. Hu ha'zohav ha'toif ha'bo mi'medinas ha'yfir. This is very high quality gold that comes from the Medina, the country of Ophir. Ophir, we learned way, way back in Sefer Yeshaya. We had a whole discussion: what is Ophir? And some of the more modern commentators they claim Ophir is Peru. Does anyone know where Peru is? Go on the Jackie Robinson, make a left.
South America makes no sense.
What?
South America makes no sense. They didn't even know about America.
They didn't know about
it. I don't know. You're right. I have nothing. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. You're right. I don't know. There's a lot of interesting stuff on this. What is Kesem Ophir? Where did they get this gold from? Ophir, you're right. I really don't know.
More gold, because Peru, that's the main thing there, is gold.
Gold?
Yeah.
So did they know about, Mr. Mills is correct, they know about South America? Could it possibly be?
No, they didn't know. The old maps, even in the Middle Ages, it didn't exist on the map. The Western Hemisphere.
Okay, you're right. I take it back. Maybe I'm imagining something. I don't know.
Rabbi Levine, in terms of the women, don't we have an example of that from our host? Didn't they all have a lady that was just designated?
So Rashi, that was Kain Hevel, right? This week's part, no, not this Rashi. Er v'oynon. I'm sorry. Er v'oynon. They would do Tamar. Hilol yezara. Okay, and there were other examples of where, right? There was a woman that was set aside to have children, and there was a woman, the trophy wife. There was a woman that was designated for children, and then there was a woman that was. Lemech and Sila, right. And then it didn't work. The woman that was set aside just not for children, right, ended up becoming pregnant.
Right.
Ended up becoming pregnant and did have children. Okay, so in Echanami, you're right, you're 100% right, but it's still a shocking thing that we would refer over here to the Melech HaMashiach, and even to give a moshel, even to say that you're going, first of all, the Melech HaMashiach, we don't associate the Melech HaMashiach as a person that wants to sit in an ivory tower and then have servants and kings. We think about the Melech HaMashiach, I think most people think about someone like Rav Steinman. Rav Steinman, he sat in abject poverty. Okay, he lived in an apartment that would be condemned by the building department. Okay, everybody say. When we think about the Melech HaMashiach, we don't think about a person living in the lap of luxury with servants in the Waldorf Astoria. We think about like Rav Steinman and Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the Chazon Nish, whose homes were not very impressive. Okay, and Rav Steinman, on the chair that he sat in, he didn't even have a back. Didn't have something you can lean on. He sat on a pillow. And people, they waited for hours to have an audience with him for a few moments. And it's a shocking thing here that we talk about the Melech HaMashiach, we talk about he's going to be living with such incredible luxury, with Heichle, Shein, Minei Simchuchach. We talk about that he's going to be sitting there with women. Women, really? Today, they'll put you in Cherim just to say the word, a woman.
Yeah,
18 wives.
This lap of luxury with wives.
With women, Shlomo HaMelech had 1,000 wives. 1,000 wives.
And influenced from these wives.
And allowed to have 18 wives. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. I really don't know. It's very, very hard for us to. So it's still, it's not. No one would use these Mishalim today to describe Talmidei Chachamim. No one would use these Mishalim today. Today, when you talk about a Talmid Chacham, that he has Tainug. Yes, Tainu the Talmud Chacham, he has mastered Shas, he has tremendous simcha, this simcha knowledge in connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you want to give a mashal, no one would dare today, would even have even the Havamina in our community to go, Rabbi Yisrael, mark.
No. It seems in those days they didn't do such mishloach.
It's hard to understand. It's really very difficult to understand. I don't know. Listen to Rashi.
They don't live that way.
Look, Shira Shirim is
yeah.
Not love.
Shira Shirim is rated R.
Descriptions.
Yeah, it's mamish graphic. Describes body parts. It's shocking. Really, these things are very, very difficult to understand. To read to Shira Shirim, how do you explain Shira Shirim?
Why can we say they lived in a different mind frame? When we put the time and everything, the way we look at the ivory tile and the flowers and the women and everything, in those days they had all the wine, they had.
We're missing something. We really, we're so far removed from this.
Because we put a much lower level of being bushless with it. They weren't on, it wasn't that way.
Well, that's why I think what generated the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom.
They were just degenerates.
What was the reason for the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom? That he had money. Because he saw
what was going on. I don't know if this is correct. I read a research paper that claimed the following, that even though in the Mishnayos it talks about having more than one wife, it was extremely rare for a man throughout Jewish history to have more than one wife. Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom, this is what I read, it could be it's totally wrong, was it got to a point where Rabbeinu Gershom saw that people were entertaining the possibility they were becoming a little more affluent and the society was changing, conditions were changing, and people were entertaining in their mind ideas, you know what, maybe we should have more than one wife. It wasn't that it ever happened. It, from the time of the Mishnayos all the way, the time of the Golus, the Churban Beis HaMikdash, all the way until the year 1000, 1000 years from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, no one had more than one, maybe very rare exceptional cases.
Didn't have two wives even in the 19th century.
See, that's much more recent.
Yeah, yeah.
That they were not makabel. But right. It seems, okay, again, this is what I read. It could be I'm wrong. From the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, for 1,000 years, kimat, nobody had more than one wife. It wasn't a reality.
We were oppressed.
It wasn't possible. About 1,000 years later, things got a little bit different, and people began to entertain the possibility in their mind, you know what, maybe we could have more than one wife, why not? And Rabbeinu Gershom nipped it in the bud. He said, don't you dare. So Rabbeinu Gershom was not a reaction to what was taking place in society. It was a preventive medicine. He saw that people were entertained. Now, not everyone wanted to accept the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom. The Sfaradim never were not makabel it. They were not makabel it.
Right.
And there were people that, even the people that were makabel, but his approach was, I see what people are about to do. I get a sense of what people are entertaining. And this is not a good thing. This is not a good thing to do, for whatever his reasons were, and he nipped it in the bud. But it was extremely rare to find anyone, look in the Gemara, I think if people go in the Gemara, did anyone in the Gemara have more than one wife? I once saw a whole analysis
well, you
of this.
Know what society, why is so the whole Gemara Yevamos is all about sorrow?
It's all theoretical. It's all the Mishnayos.
Obviously, it's all reality that it's still possible.
It's of course possible. Yaakov had four wives. Of course, it's possible.
The standard answer before Matan Torah, right?
Okay. I mean, of course, it's possible. And the halacha. The halacha deals with the Mishnayos. The whole Masechet Yevamos, most of what we learn is all theoretical. It's not necessarily practical. The whole Masechet is a theoretical Masechet of the Tzoros and the Tzoros and all these different conditions. But the halacha lemaisa, that people mamish marry more than one wife, it seems that it was a very, very rare occurrence.
But this is not the subject. The subject is how to use this.
This is a mashal. But even to use this as a mashal, it's something very bizarre. We talk about the Avi said of Kalman said about the Arabs. They say you could become a suicide bomber and you'll go into paradise. So you can have 70 virgins. It's disgusting. It's just utterly disgusting.
To us, not to them.
What?
Not to them.
I don't know. If something is not right. There's something that somebody needs... The word shegal is a very dirty word. It's a dirty word. And in fact, it's such a dirty word that the Nechemia means a dog. The Nebuchadnezzar, he says, such a bal taiva that the act of taiva was such an extreme. Okay, Rabbi said, please, I can't compete. I can't compete every second. Please. Okay, let's now stick to look at Rashi. Rashi, page 408, min hechle shein mine simichucha. Yoyser me hechle shein. So here learns means even more so. Meshubachim ha hecholois ha mesukonim lucha began eden lisa mechacha bohem. This, you have to read the Rashi also a little bit backwards. That what you, the now we're dealing with, we have to shift gears. We're now learning Rashi. Rashi learns that the subject is the Talmidei Chachamim. According to the Mitzudoi stuff, we're dealing with the Melech HaMashiach. Now here there's another very major difference between Rashi and the Mitzudoi stuff. The Mitzudoi stuff is discussing this world. Olam Hazeh. Because the Melech HaMashiach is alive in this world. Rashi is describing Talmidei Chachamim. Talmidei Chachamim, they're not going to leave this world in a state where people appreciate them. It's something which is a preparation for Gan Eden. And he writes, and in Gan Eden, the Talmidei Chacham will be surrounded with servants, with women. That's what it says in the Pasuk. Mine yoyser meheich leishem. More so than the palaces of ivory. Mishubachim, Mishubachim ha'hechalois, the chambers. Ha'misukonim luchal, they'll be prepared for you. Began Eden. Le sa mechacho bochem, to bring you enjoyment. Shane, okay, Rebuchol, you want to comment? Rebuchol, you're online. What exactly is this?
The word is ivoire, which is French for ivory.
Ivory.
There's a country, the Ivory Coast. They call themselves Côte d'Ivoire.
Comes from elephant, right? Ivory. Ivory is a tusk of elephant.
I would assume that's why your tooth is called the Shane, because it's white and it's like a tooth is like ivory, sort of like. Maybe, look, why is your tooth called the Shane?
That's the big mystery.
Maybe where it comes from. I mean, it's
well, the tusk of an elephant is used in the same way that a tooth is used. It's to chew, and then not to chew, but to transform, to assist in the act of eating. It sucks. I'm sorry. I'm making a mistake. It's horns.
They use it for weapons to fight.
Okay. So why is it called the tooth? What then is the relationship between the tooth of the human being and the tusk? I don't know. Okay, Rabbi Chol, how are you feeling? You sound a little better today. How are you feeling?
Actually, I'm worse. I'm not good. I can see. I probably won't be able to come in for a while.
Refuah Shleima. Feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Feel good.
Minei
simechucha, hecholois asher minihem simechucha hanois chambers, which asher mini from them, heim simechucha, they will give you joy. Okay? Hanois nim sechorcha, that provide you reward. Pasuk yud benois melachim, you mevakreis oischa. Now, right away, look at Rashi. Rashi over here says, the daughters, they will be mevakroist oischa to visit. Notice Rashi over here, it's a little further Rashi, they'll visit you. Not doesn't mean bikur. Bikur means to visit, not yikor. We have here machlokes Rashi and the Mitzudas. The Mitzudas is the word be yikiroisecha.
That's why
there is a dagesh in the kuf. Rashi's going to say that right now. Rashi's going to say that right now in one moment. Exactly. So right away, we notice over there that we have achlokes over here. We have over this word. This word, it's not clear what the word means. And there's a very big nafkamina as how to vowelize the word. And that's going to be, we're going to read in a few moments, the Min Chashai. Rashi right away said it means bikur. Bikur means to visit, not yokor. Is the yud part of the shoresh? If it's bikur, the yud is not part of the shoresh. If it's yokor, the yud is part of the shoresh, as we'll see in a moment. But over here, Rashi learns what it means. They're going to visit you. You're going to get visitors. The Talmidei Chacham are going to receive visitors in the next world. Good morning, Rabbi Wolf.
Good morning. I'm sorry I'm disturbing.
No, it's okay. Okay. You mevakrois oitzcha king in shenema.
princes will be your nurses. Now, what does that have to do? What does that have to do? What is the word mei nikoi sakso? It refers over here to the grammar. Let's see. Okay, look at. Let's go a little bit further. The reason bi kiroi secha hakuf dogesh. There is a dat in the kuf lefi shehu l'shoin bikur, because the correct word is it's the base is part of the shoresh, the yud is insignificant. The yud is a chiruk mole b. Whenever you have a chiruk mole, then automatically it's a shvad no. The next, it's a new syllable. A chiruk mole is a tnua gidoila. Whenever you have a major syllable, a major vowel, then the following, the next syllable will always be no, not noch. So therefore, to indicate that it's no, there's a dat, which means it's like the beginning of a new syllable. So it's b, beis yud, it's a chirik, not just an ordinary chirik with a dot, but a dot followed by a yud, which makes this into what's called a tenua gidoila. And then when you come to the next letter, the beginning of the next syllable, it's going to be a major syllable, so it's going to be ki. Ki roi secha, there's an emphasis to a degree on the kuf, and that's why there's a dot in the kuf to indicate that the shva beneath the kuf is a shva no. It's not big. That's impossible. Whenever there's a chiruk gadol, it's a tenua gadolah, then it's b ki roi secha, not big, because this is means bikur, to visit. V'yaf al pisha kosav yud lefaneha. Even though there's a yud lefanecha, the yud lefanecha means nothing. Adarav, yud lefanecha is a chiruk mole. Look at the gimel. The gimel in the sif says the kainim. V'yav yishakas a yud lefanecha, v'tzed olam, v'chiruk biyud, chu tenua gidoyla. V'ein shaykh dogush achar, it's not shaykh, he's listening to Krashen, v'ein shaykh dogush achar tenua gidoyla, l'zeh maybe the nimtza kehaigavnu lepamim. No, we do find such examples. The ayin b'tsoyar hateva b'tevas hadogish, and the tsoyar hateva b'tevas. I don't know what that means. Okay, but
I think he wanted the writer wanted to have both of them. Shegam yekal v'gam yikur.
Okay.
So he put both of them.
Both
in the same word.
I see what you're saying. You want to say it's yikar.
Poetic
license. He's trying to allude to Bokeh, but Rashi wants to say over here that it means one thing only. Let's see what the Balpi Shakas of Yud Lefonehom. Reisi binikud Rav Sadya Goin. Teva Zo Sidura, this word is Sidura, is arranged. In Minosan Limeshisa Yaakov, who caused the Jewish people to be trampled. Now, what is it? Look at the shin. The she saw there's a dot in the samach. Why is your dot in the samach? Shekosev bo yud v'hasamach mud geshes. Another example where even though you have a yud, ordinarily there's no dot. Sorry?
Rashi.
The first wide line of Rashi, towards the end of the line, that I saw with Nikud of Sadia, Teva Zeus Sidur, this word that it says, Bi ke roi secha, has this similar to what it says in this pasuk, minosan lemeshisa Yaakov. There also, look at the samach in the Rashi. Rashi puts a dot in the samach. Why is there a dot in the samach? He's saying, well, after it's new gedola, let's beget kesef are the letters which get dots. Only the letters beget kesef get dots. Other letters don't get dots. Getting dots it's not the normal type of letter which gets a dot, yet there are exceptions, and it should not be, if it's not beget kesef, it should not get a dot after a chiruk mole. But yet here lemeshisa there is a dot, and in the word bi kiroi secha there is a dot. Okay, there is a dot. So he's saying it's something very, very similar. All right, let's leave it with that. Umenachem Chibroi, Rashi now quotes, we have Rav Sadia going, and we have now Menachem. Menachem Chibroi Lashon Yoiker. Yoiker means precious. Kimo Yokar Mikli, more precious than it's a pasuk Mikli. Okay, Mikli pas, more precious than a kli than of gold, made out of gold. I pause. Yokar Mikli pas. Look at the next line. Pause. Look at Ois Dalet. Look at Dalet. Dalet always says, look at Ois Dalet in the Sif says the Canaan. B. Kiroisech, Ladas Rashi. Sharsha Beis Kufresh. According to Rashi, it's Bikur. Bikur. Ulmanachem, it's Yokar. What is the root of the word? Is the Yud the root or is the Beis root? A word typically has three letters. What is the root of this word? According to Rashi, Rashi says it means to visit. Boker. Boker means when the light visits the day. It's Alois HaShachar. I saw that somewhere. Is what's the meaning of the word Boker? Boker is a visit. The sun comes to visit the earth. The sun's only a visitor. The earth is the main. We live in a world where the earth is the center of this world, and everyone knows that the sun goes around the earth, not vice versa. And the sun comes every morning for a visit. Mark, is the earth flat or round?
Flat.
Flat? Very good, because if you would have said round, I would have told you. If you would have said the earth is round, I would have told you you're in the wrong place.
Kyrie Irving said it's flat.
What? We all know that the sun every day comes to visit. How you know it's here to visit? Because it leaves. It's not happy. It comes in the morning and it leaves at night. The sun is a visitor in this world. That's why the boker means that we have a guest. Guess what? Bikur. The sun has come to make an inspection. Bikur. It's like an inspector. I remember when I was a kid in Chaim Berlin, I was in sixth grade, they scared the living daylights out of us. They told us, tomorrow the government is coming to inspect. And they told us, Menachem, you better be on your best behavior. And they practiced with us how to be polite, and to say good morning, and to say thank you.
Only that day.
Only that day. Only that day. Kesef, okay? They're coming to inspect. They're going to be here the whole day. You better get dressed. Everyone should come in their Shabbos clothing. They don't have mamash that far. And they really, like, they really said, you know, a lot of the yeshiva's survival is on the line here. And then we come the next day. And then we go down to breakfast after davening. And they lined us up. And, like, everything was so perfect and so clean. And they kept on looking at us, the Rebbeim and the don't mess up now. And the principal was there with the inspectors, and they was looking at us. And then we had to take the food. We had very good food that day. Very good food.
Three portions.
And then we had to say good morning, thank you. And they made us feel like, you mess up, you're finished. Government funding.
You didn't like the food I would sell at Chaim Berlin in those days.
You sold the Chaim Berlin?
In those days, yeah.
Bikur. So there's a visitor. There's a visitor who has arrived today. You must be on your best behavior. That's boker. And then there's another word called yukar. Yukar means honor. What is the root of this word? So that's the machloikis of between Rashi and the Mitzudah stuff. According to the Mitzudah stuff, the word is yukar. According to what?
Yikar,
and according to Rashi, it is boker, which means to visit. Lamai nafkamina. The nafkamina is, should there be a dot in the kuf? If it's, and I'm not taking it back. Wait, okay. That's the machlokes, what the word is. I don't know grammar too well, so let's leave it with that. We'll see.
That's why I said both of them right.
The book, right. So you want to say that because of the contradiction in the rules of grammar, Rav Kalman is saying that no, that was the intent, David's intent was to use Lashon Neufel al HaLashon, is to use a word that's ambiguous, because he has a double intent in this word. His intent is that the daughters of kings will visit you. They'll come to visit, and it also means that their visit will be honor for you. The very fact that the princesses are going to come, that itself is a display of yokar, of honor. So why does it have to be why can't it be both of these terms together? Now let's go to the next Rashi. Shegal. What is Shegal? This is the Malka, this is the queen. Kimoiva Hashegal, Yosheves, that's like the queen sits by you. Okay, the Yishtoin Vahoy Malka. Now he's quoting over here what it says in Daniel. The Yishtoin Vahoy Malka, the Rav Rivo Nohi, Sheglose Ulichenose. Okay, so there it means that they're going to serve you. They're going to serve okay, I'm not sure what this means. This pasuk means what this means. This is from Daniel. The Yishtoin Behoin Malka. Okay, I don't know what the word V'yishtoin means. The king, the Rav Riva Nohi, and all of the governors, leaders, Sheglose is the queen. Ulechenose, I don't know what that word is. I'm reading Rashi. Rashi on page 408. I'm reading from Rashi. Okay, he's quoting the pasuk in Nehemiah, and over there in that pasuk in Nehemiah, in the context of that pasuk, the word Shegal means a queen. And then it's what does it mean in this context? In our context, it means ish. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm moving around here. Let me get to the Rashi. Where is that?
On page Rashi, Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud. Memhe, Mizmor, Memhe, 45:10.
Right. They shall drink with him, the king and his nobles, his queen and his concubines.
Okay, so it means to drink. They will drink with Behoin, with them. Who's, I don't know what the context is, Behoin. The king and the nobles, the queen and the concubines. So what do we see from this pasuk? We see
it's really a derogatory term.
A shegal, that's what we assume, because the word shegal is a dirty word. It means...
It's not a dirty word,
but it means it's a graphic term of taiva.
Yeah, I don't know why it says it like a queen. It's like something that's available for use.
Exactly, taiva. And that we discussed. I mean, that's what it says over here. But according to the Mitzudot, it's the return of Melech HaMashiach. According to Rashi, we discussed in Talmidei Chachamim. And we're saying that they're going to be have honor. What is the honor? The honor is they're going to be surrounded by women. What? Is that not, that's not the way that you would talk today? And especially when you would describe the wife, a wife with such a graphic term, Shegal. Shegal literally means the act of marital relations, and because the person's wife is designated for this purpose, so she gets the term Shegal. Really? Is that how you want to describe Talmidei Chachamim? Is that how you want to do in Gan Eden? Is that how you want to describe the Melech HaMashiach in this world? It is a little bit bizarre. Okay, it needs some explanation what this means. But over here in this pasuk in Nehemiah, it says, V'yishtoin, they will drink Bohoim together with you, the king, the Malka, V'rav Rivo Noihi, the nobles, and Sheglose. Sheglose is the queen, and Ulechenose, and all of the Pilakshim, the concubines. So what do we take out of this pasuk? We take out of this part of the word. The word is Sheglose, means the queen. So now we go back to our pasuk over here. Rashi concludes and says, Ishtecha tis yatsev lemincha. Your wife will sit at your right side in Gan Eden. According to Rashi, L'chor we're referring to Gan Eden. And this L'chor is a very interesting thing, is that a wife has a partner with her husband. Okay, very good. There is separate sitting. Everyone sits in their own seats. Everyone sits in their own seats. They used to always joke in the Young Israel. They would joke. In the Young Israel, they make a dinner. The dinner was mixed. Mixed seating.
Family.
No, not family sitting. At the dinner, it was mixed seating. It was always mixed seating. So they would make a joke. The joke is, Rabbi Isai, we're having separate seating at the dinner.
That's a
relatively new thing, relatively speaking.
What?
Second
city. No, this is a joke. Let me explain the joke. The joke is they would say we're having mixing of course, but having said, everyone gets to sit in their own seat. Separate seat. No two people are going to share one chair. Everyone gets to sit in their own chair. But who do you sit next to? Oh, you can sit next to any woman you want.
Your wife on your right, sir.
So the wife is over here, is on the right side. Okay, now, over here, it's according to Rashi, describing Gan Eden. Rashi said in the beginning, and in Gan Eden, a person sits together in the next world with his wife. With his wife. His wife is his partner. Every accomplishment that he achieves in this world is due to his wife, and therefore the wife is a partner, and she sits at a person's right side. And obviously the right side from this pasuk seems to indicate that it is the more choshev. When you sit down, the more... Mark, please, I can't compete. When you sit down, what is more choshev? The person should be sitting on the right side or on the left side. So here you learn that the right side is more choshev. We know, but the gabai on Simchas Torah, in the Rishus, Amoid Liyamini. Okay, there's a very big debate. Where does the gabai stand at the bima? Does the gabai stand, if you're facing Mizrach, does the gabai stand on the left side of the Baal Kriya, or does the gabai stand on the right side of the Baal Kriya? Now, what do people bring? So there are different minhagim. I think in most shuls the gabai stands on the left side. Is that correct? Is that more common? What?
So there
is no need for a gabai sheni. There's really the only really supposed to be at the bima three people. There is the one that gets the aliyah, the one that reads, and the one that's the gabai. Three people. A gabai sheni. There's no need for a gabai sheni.
Well, what was the halakha? You see, what bothers me with that, which I mean, I know that's what it said, but when everybody used to read his own aliyah.
Two people.
Three people?
No, I don't think so.
Right.
Today there's a koire and there's an oile and a gabai. So where does it come to be another person sitting on the other side? I don't know where it comes from. Oh, so that's not a gabai, right? The one from the previously is supposed to stay there for one more aliyah to show that he's not running away. It's disrespectful to run away. So you stick around. So, but yet every shul there's a gabai sheni. Let's say a baruch. What's the reason for the gabai sheni? What's the makar? Are you familiar with the makar for a gabai sheni?
To put the card.
Okay, we have to ask. Yeah.
The question?
A gabai sheni. What is the makar for a gabai sheni?
in halacha, with dealing by the bima, if you only have two people, you need a third person.
Why would you only have two people?
Let's say the Baal Kriya
gets an aliyah. Okay.
Cohen. So you only have the gabai and you have the Baal Kriya.
So why do you need a third person?
Because it's all the stars.
Well, I can't.
Moshe Rabbeinu, Klal Yisrael.
When the Kohen gets an aliyah, so ordinarily, the one that lanes is Kineged Moshe Rabbeinu.
The gabai is a Kohen and he's the Baal Kriya.
So let's say the gabai is a Kohen and the Baal Kriya. So then he does everything. There's no one by the bima but him.
He has to call up two other people for the bima.
Okay, so Baruch is saying that you need three people by the bima. So again, wait. So that's three people. Where's the fourth person?
You don't need a fourth.
What?
You don't need a fourth.
So a gabai sheni, you don't need. You're saying you don't need. There's no need for a gabai sheni.
No.
Yet it's the minhag Yisrael. There's always a gabai sheni. You ask someone to stand there.
Well, it's not by the first of the year. I used to make sure. If someone walked up, I used to chase them away to show that the din is at three people, not four people.
Okay, say that again. We're having some sound problems here.
Let's say on a Thursday morning.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was the gabai, say, you have the belt tire and you have the towing.
Okay.
Someone would get out from his chin, run over to the beam. I used to chase him away to show that the din is only three people.
So you're saying your bedafka would not have a gabay sheni?
Yeah, because it's not needed.
But in every shul in the world is a gabay sheni.
The gabay sheni because
it's poor. I can't remember. So what?
He helps the gabay. He has other duties to perform. But the dinner, only three people have to stay by the.
Only three people. So the gabay sheni is just it doesn't belong there. It just gets in the way. But everyone has every shul.
Because you have to have a co-pilot.
I can't.
Once you give an aliyah out, it's already you have another person standing on the other side. Mm-hmm. He's waiting there for the aliyah.
He doesn't walk away. He stays there for another aliyah.
Right.
But yet in every single shul I've been in, with B'li Yoytzim and Aklal, there's always...
My friend who learned in the Shtark, he didn't stay by the aliyah.
What?
My Gabbai Shem, my friend.
Oh, you did have a Gabbai Shem.
I basically whatever you call from the shul, I gave up the aliyahs. But years ago, they wanted to take pressure off of me, so they made a Gabbai Shem who gives out the davening.
Okay. But why does he have to stand by the bima?
He never did.
So by your shul, there was never a person, another person. I don't mean the word gabbai by gabbai. I mean a person that stands on the other side of the bima.
No one stood there? Except for the first aliyah, you always had someone standing there because of the aliyahs.
I don't understand.
He said only by the first aliyah somebody stood on this.
By the first, you have three people. What do you need? You have three people. Well, you have the one who gets the aliyah. In a situation where the gabbai is the koyein and is the balkriya, okay, so then you need two more people. I know, I'm aware of that. But yet, Hanach Lohem Le Yisrael, I've never ever been at a shul, ever, where there was not another person on the bima standing on the other side. And if there's no one there, someone politely will ask, can you stand here? So I'm just asking, why do we find today, if it's 100% correct, you only have to have three people, why then today do we find people are very, they're, okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
Because the Balkor and the person with the aliyah is considered one unit. Because they used to, the Ola would land itself.
Okay.
Simply lechabed eta.
Give cover to the Torah.
Because what happens there? The Baal Kore is in the front, and the Ole is bimino, and then the Gabai bimino, and there nobody stands there. So they brought another one, latet kavod.
Right. But everything nice. Ordinarily looks nice. Everything normally is done according to halacha. There's a certain protocol which is based upon what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I'm not trying to tell you to do different chas v'shalom. That this is the minhag of Klal Yisrael is.
For example, the Aruch HaShulchan says that at one time it used to be that the rabbi stood on the right side before.
That's what we're discussing now.
He held the yad. And used to show the oiler. He used to show the oiler where the Balkara is reading. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan
said. Who would show the oiler? The Gabbai Sheni?
Because in this case, what he used to have, he said the Gabbai should stand on the other side.
The Gabbai should stand on the right side?
According to the Aruch HaShulchan. He used to hold the yad, the gabbai, and he showed the oiler where to read.
Where is this gabbai standing?
He's standing on the right side.
On the right side. Okay, this is getting very confusing for me. Okay.
I stood on the left side.
The left side, right. So I don't, most shuls that I've seen, not all, in most shuls, the Gabbai stands on the left side. There's a proof to this. The Gabbai Rishon. What's the proof to this?
He does the calling up?
Yes, he does the calling up.
Am I sure the Balkari?
Young Israel, the Balkari calls up?
Yeah.
Which shul? Where?
Talmud
Torah, the Balkri calls up? He's the Gabbai. Why? Why is he the Gabbai? The one that lanes is the one who calls up.
Part of his pay.
Right.
Okay, now
the same because that's what okay. They hired him as. The only problem with that is when I did that sefer on laning, it says that's also.
Why is it also?
Because Balkari is not allowed to be mafsik during laning. Period. He lames the parsha. He's not allowed to say one word from the beginning of the parsha till the end of the parsha. He's not allowed to say anything but laming. So it says the favorite. He can't be the guy.
Where does it say he's not allowed to be mafsik?
I'm just telling you. He's quoting. This is a sefer that I have that's quoting from other rishonim that he says at the beginning where he's getting his stuff from, and he's saying.
It's very interesting that he should not be mafsik from the beginning of laning.
I'm just saying, nobody does that, but that's what right. It says there in the sefer.
It's very interesting. The Balkriya should not be mafsik from the beginning of laning to end of laning, therefore you should not call up.
I would think you need two gabbayim because there's a lot of things going on.
That's right, a lot going on. Okay.
The person who's calling up is the other gabbay is trying to find the next person for the aliyah, making sure he's set. He's also checking the Balkar to make sure he's reading correctly and checking because he's the number one corrector.
Right.
Okay, I hear. These are all new things that we all need to do and are all done. But Me'ikar Hadin, let's review. Me'ikar Hadin, Rabbi says, Me'ikar Hadin by the Bima, there are three people that stand by the Bima. Why there are three people that stand by the Bima? The number three, because every time we lane from the Torah, we are reenacting Matan Torah. At Matan Torah, there were three entities. There was the Ribbono Shel Olam, there was Moshe Rabbeinu, and there was Klal Yisrael. One person represents Hashem, one person represents Klal Yisrael, and one person represents Moshe Rabbeinu. Typically, the Gabbai represents Hashem. The one that is reading the Koyrei represents Moshe Rabbeinu. And the one that gets the Aliyah represents Klal Yisrael. Okay, so typically there are three people in order to enact Matan Torah. Now, where do they stand? Where does the Balkriya versus the Oiles? So we all know what we do commonly. This is the most common thing. You come out, don't see it another way. Is the one that lanes is on the left, and the one that gets the Aliyah is on the right. Yishno, not everyone does that. There are certain Hasidic Shekhilos, I don't remember, can't tell you exactly which one, where they don't do that, the other way around. Mm-hmm. The one that gets the Aliyah is on the left, and the one that is laning.
Cousin, all the Rottenberg, the family
Rottenberg? Yes. Which Hasidus is this?
Cousin.
Kosef?
Cousin with an M. Cousin.
Okay, so there are certain.
All of them.
They're reversed.
Well, who's considered the
ink right.
And the oil or the Balkari, you know what I mean?
But there's also called Pina Sha'ata Poin Eloi. When you finish getting the Aliyah, how are you going to walk away? So if you start off on the left, and then when you finish your Aliyah, you're going to go to the right. So when you're moving away, you're going to the right. If you're going to get up to begin with, you're on the right. Then even when your Aliyah is over. Okay, so there are different customs. There are different customs as to where. These are different customs as to. But we generally have it where the one that gets the Aliyah is on the right side. Okay, so that's one thing. The Oiler.
I've never seen it, but I'm told about it.
Okay, that's one issue. Here, boys, that's one issue. The one that gets the Aliyah and the one that lanes, left and right. Next issue. All of us are kemat, have never ever seen any other way. The one that gets the aliyah is on the right, the one that is landing is on the left, period. Now, is it a practical reason? Is there any practical reason? Because when you're landing, it's easier to be on the left. The one that gets the aliyah on the right, I don't know. I really don't
easier.
Know.
Of course it's easier.
Why is it easier?
Because when you gotta go from one omelet to the next omelet,
yeah.
You're there, you can see the second omelet instead of...
Well, they both need to equally see it. The one is landing, one is seeing it. What's the difference? They both need to see
the
same.
Is in front of it, and then when
yeah.
it goes to the next one,
I don't know. I don't think it makes a difference. It is practical? Okay, I mean, say this.
It's practical for the Gabbai to be on the on the right side.
Why?
Because he's dealing with the Ola, with his name, and his Mishaberach, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just more, again, practical.
Adaraba, he should be closer to him. If you're dealing with...
Right,
he,
on the right side of of the
old. Oh, but he's not. Now we come to the Gabbai. Let's come to the Gabbai. Where are so where is the Gabbai in most shuls that I've seen? I can tell you the left side. Left side. So you're saying that it's not practical.
I say it's not.
It's not, you're saying, because if you're in a Hasidic shul, you're giving Mishabach and this one's name and that one's name and this Zayda and that Zayda.
And then you're talking over the
you're talking over the Sefer Torah. You're talking over the Sefer Torah, you're talking over the Baal Kriya, so it's disrespectful. Okay, you're saying very good. So it would be much more practical, either for the one that gets the Aliyah, should be on the left side, or the Gabbai should be on the right side, 100%. How for the Misha Berachs, right?
The Gabbai Rishon on the left can do the Misha Berachs, and then you have the same problem.
The Gabbai Rishon, what?
And the Baal Kriya's left. Sometimes he could do the Misha Berachs.
Who's doing the Misha Berachs?
The Gabbai Rishon.
He does the Misha Berachs.
But he's on the left.
Most shuls, it's the Gabbai who makes the Misha Berachs, not the Baal Kriya.
I know, but sometimes the Gabbai on the right makes the Misha Berachs. It all depends on the shul.
What? Yes, the Gabbai on the right makes it? Sometimes the Gabbai stands on the right.
Both ways.
Because it sounds very low. So, okay, whatever it is, there are many shuls, there are some shuls where the Gabbai stands on the right side. Okay, there are shuls. In the Yom Gizl of Avenue J, that was the custom. The Gabbai stood on the right side. This past Shabbos, I went to the Aguda convention. Right away, I was very surprised. Where did the Gabbai stand? It's like a real professional Gabbai. He knew how to sprach. He knew, you know, like you can see, he knows this is what he does the whole year in his sleep. It's like he lives and breathes there. You know, some people, they just can't help themselves. I'm a Gabbai the whole year. I have to be the Gabbai here as well at this convention. And where did this Gabbai stand? On the right side. The Aguda convention this week, this past Shabbos, I right away caught my attention. Why is the Gabbai standing on the right side? But I don't know, none of my business.
Chassidish.
He was a Chassidish, he was wearing a spadik. What? They sold the Elias. They did sell the Elias. No, they were not so long. They were very quick. The Mishabarachs was one, two, just no different than in a regular shul. 1, 2, 3. The Mishabarachs were very quick. They didn't have these long, this one and that one and that one. It was just basically just the person's name, I think. Maybe they said one or two other names. Not more than that. Okay, so
the overriding factor has to be, basically, that the truth about Torah is representing Moshe Rabbeinu.
Yeah.
He has to be between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael.
Oh, so Rabbi Baruch is saying a Svara. Rabbi, so you hear what he's saying? That because the Baal Kriya is Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Oila is Klal Yisrael, and the Gabbai is Hashem, so it makes sense that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gabbai, should be in the middle. Let's see, a good Svara was Kedai to come.
The Baal Kriya.
The Baal Kriya is Moshe Rabbeinu. The Baal Kriya represents Moshe Rabbeinu.
That's,
so
that's the overriding factor.
So you want him to be between the Sirsur.
It seems though trumps out everything else.
Okay, he's saying a Svara, why the Baal Kriya is in between. Okay, the Gabbai represents Hashem, and he's saying a very nice Svara. Rabbarak, is your Svara? It says this is the reason why they stand in this position. I understand. There are three people by the bima.
When you
finish the Shia, go through the Mishnah Berurah before he says something.
Okay. There are three people. That I understand. We know that. There are three people by the Bima, Hashem, Moshe, and Klal Yisrael. But you're saying a Svara that the person, that the Gabbai, Moshe Rabbeinu, the one that represents Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Sai, please. The whole Shia is really falling apart here. Please. Let's try to have some semblance of decorum. It's good. The interaction is very, very good. I love the interaction.
We can't talk to each other.
But we have to. But we have to have some type of, you know, it has to be some.
The monitor is not here today.
The monitor is. What does that mean?
I'm not there, so that's why it's falling apart.
Mayor is not there. Mayor is online over here. Are you okay?
I don't know, I have a throat.
You have a cold? All right, Refuah Shalema. Okay, so we have over here, so Baruch is saying something, we gotta go see the Mishnah Berurah, is that the guy, it makes a lot of sense, very interesting, is that the Baal Kriya represents Moshe Rabbeinu, he is the Sirsur, he's in between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, so therefore it makes a lot of sense why he should stand in the middle. Very interesting. Now, why am I telling you all this? Because over here it says that the Shegal is limincha, in the reshus of Simchas Torah. Okay, it's a beautiful, beautiful reshus. On Simchas, when they call up the chassan Torah and the chassan Bereshis. So in the chassan, I think it's in the chassan Bereshis, there in the reshus it says Amoid liyamini. And who is the one that typically says that reads the reshus? I'm assuming it's the Gabbai. I mean, today, usually, that's the one who does it. The Gabbai is the one who reads a Rishus. Na, 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 na. You know, you go through the, you sing it in the Nigun of Akdamas.
Right.
You sing that beautiful Rishus. It's Kedai to become the Chasna Bereshus to get all the brachas, the beautiful, beautiful brachas in the Piyut and the Rishus. And in that Rishus, you say, Amoid Liyamini. Okay, it's in the Nusach of the Rishus. Stand and stand up to my right side. Now, if you're in a shul where the Gabbai is standing on the left side of the bima, and you take seriously what it says in the Rishus, then it doesn't make sense. Because the Gabbai, if the Gabbai is reading the Rishus and he says, stand to my right, that means what he means, stand on the other side of the bima, it doesn't make any sense. If the Gabbai is standing, what's that noise? Someone outside. If the Gabbai is standing on the left side, and he says, Amoid liyamini, so he's telling the person, now it's time for you to get the aliyah, come forward and stand on my right side. What? No, you're not.
If the Gabbai is on the right side.
On the left, that's exactly what I'm starting to say. Right, so this is a proof. Correct. Many people want to bring this as a proof from the Rishus of Simchas Torah that the correct location for the Gabbai is to stand on the left side of the bima.
Maybe that's why that has that long Nusuf, because that's only on Simchas Torah, because he's normally on the right side.
Okay, so you want to go say, you want to say a svara like this, a svara like that. This is cited as a proof that the correct location for the Gabbai should be on the left side. Because in the Rishus it says, Amoid liyamini. Okay, Rav Baruch said from the Mishnah Berurah another svara. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, okay, please. Okay, another svara. However, Pukhazi, go out and see in the world, there are many shuls, not many, but there are a significant number of shuls where the Gabbai stands on the right side. And he calls up the people. And as you said, one of the very big advantages for the Gabbai to stand on the right side is if you're in a shul where they have elaborate Misha Berachs, and you want to get everyone's name, so if the Gabbai is on the...
Me.
I'm sorry?
Well, I took it with me.
So if I'm sorry?
Yeah, Fox said from collections.
Okay, so if you in a, so that would obviously be an advantage. I do not know. Everything is as you said, is all minik.
So that answers your whole question,
then. What?
Now we have two gabayim, one on the right and the left. And you solved all the problems.
There's no two gabayim. There's no such thing as two gabayim. The other person just stands there to whatever the reason is, to I don't know what he's there for. He's there to correct, whatever he's there for. Someone stands there, whatever he's there for.
And
there's a very big mystery why we're so machbid, there's a person should be beat. Not machbid, whatever the reason, it gets crowded. You know, once the person gets the aliyah, he hangs around. So now you have four people at... five people. Yeah, we have the gabbai Shani, the oiler, the one that gets the balkriya, and the guy that's hanging around. He's hanging around for the second. He doesn't leave the bima right. We have five people standing around the bima. That's quite a crowd. It's not good. You know, during COVID, they didn't let anyone come to the bima. The one that laned, he did it all. No, not necessarily all. The gabbai did it from his seat. The gabbai was the gabbai from far away. During COVID, many shuls, the gabbai was the gabbai from far away, and it was nearly no gabbai because the person he did everything. He did everything. He did all the aliyahs, the Baal Kriya. Okay, except I know Idav. We only did it once. I don't know who paid for it. They had this fancy glass mechitza. They only used it once. Could you imagine the whole hype of this sliding glass mechitza they put by the bima? On one side is the Baal Kriya, on the other side is the oila, and to separate the two, they used it once, and then they saw that it wasn't very practical. The whole thing was just ridiculous, at least in the shul right oven. So after 1 week of spending all that money to have someone to buy that device to separate the Baal Kriya from the oila, the next week already, they say, enough of this already. Forget about it. Forget about it. It's not going to make a difference. It's not going to make a difference. Don't ask me, whoever. But other shuls, they use it for a very... I mean, some shuls I know, they're still using it. They're still using it. They're still into this. They're still... All right, to each his own.
I told after I had the glass thing around my lectern when I spoke, so when they said, why do I have it anymore after a while... I said it's not for COVID. It's in case you throw things at me.
It's bulletproof. All right. So amoid. There is this element of amoid liyamini, and look what it says over here. It says over here by the shegal. It says here. It didn't have to go say. It could just say nitzva shegal bitzidoy, at his side. There's something to the honor of where you sit. Over here, this pasuk puts an emphasis, is that the shegal is on the right side. Just like in the reshus of Simchas Torah, amoid limini, stand at my right side. There's something, obviously, look,
we have a big thing that to be on the right. The whole thing
a Talmud Chacham. Yeah.
Avram was up there. They went underneath and switched sides.
They switched the graves.
Right.
There's a very beginning. There's a very beginning. You know.
I'm not familiar with that.
By the Maris Machpelah, so they buried first Sarah, and then when they buried Avraham. So what does it say? Okay, there's a whole. There's a Rashi that talks about that they had to reinter one of the people at the Maris Machpelah, because now that there's another person, who has to be on the right, and since there's only one slot left, and the result's going to be that the wrong person's going to be on the right, so they had to re-dig up one of the people and put them on the other side.
When you walk with a rug, the rug is supposed to be on the right side. So Avram was in the middle. Then came Yitzchak. He was put to the left of Avram, because Avram, who was the chashuv, had to be on the right side. Then came Yaakov. Now you have to move it around.
Okay, I don't remember the details right. So there is obviously a lot to be said. Who's on the right? Who's on the left? There is something to be said about that. And this applies obviously across the board in many, many different areas. And when it comes to a wife, under the chuppah, this is the very beginning, under the chuppah, let's talk about a shul. Where does the rabbi sit in the shul? So the Gemara says, well, it depends. What kind of rabbi? If the rabbi wants to be rich, if haroitze lahachkim yadrin, haroitze Lahashir Yatzpin. If you want to become rich, so what does it mean exactly? If you want to become wealthy, you're supposed to sit on the right side of the bimo, of the Aron. Why? That way you can turn. If this is Mizrach, if this is Mizrach, so the left side is. I'm all confused. If this is Mizrach, the left side is Tzafayim. The right side is Dorayim. So a rabbi who wants to be rich, wants to be very rich, he sits on the right side. Why the right side? So he can... No, this Dorayim. The right side is Dorayim. Is it why? So that way he can turn towards the Aron HaKodesh, which really means he's turning to the north. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Shulchan was on the Tzafayim, was on the north side. So if you're facing the Mizrach, the rabbi sits on the right side. That way the rabbi, he can turn, he can tilt to his left. When the rabbi tilts to his, if he's sitting on the right side and he's tilting towards the left, he's tilting towards the north. And the north is where the money is. No, you have to face east. You have to face, so you face straight. Let me demonstrate.
Rabbi also. If you're sitting over here, and it's not respectful to face this way.
Right.
Why? Because you're facing away. You're facing basically straight. And you want to tilt a little bit. If you tilt this way, it's disrespectful. Because I'm facing away from your Nakodesh.
Right.
Okay. But I want money. Kesef. Where was the Shulchan of the Beis HaMikdash? On the north, on that side. On that side. So this way, I sit over here and I face this way.
No.
I'm being mekayem two things. I'm facing the Aron. Plus, I'm tilting towards the north, where the money is. So let's say I want to be a chacham, a talmud chacham. So then I want to face where the menorah is. So then I'm going to stand here, and I'm going to face where the menorah is. It's disrespectful because I'm facing away from the Aron. So what's the solution? You sit over here. So therefore, I got him over here, and then I go and I turn towards the Aron, and I'm also tilting towards the south, where the menorah is. So that's why in all Shtibuch, the Rav, where does the Rav sit? The Rav sits on the left side.
That's not true,
though. No.
A lot of these, it depends how they're raised, it's built in, there's a cubby for the Amud on the right side, and on the left side is where they have, a lot of these very elaborate shuls, is with the Rav sits on the left side. Not always, 100%. In Chaim Berlin.
Sometimes there is a rabbi in emeritus.
Rabbi emeritus.
You don't remove him, so he stays in his
place.
There was a story that they had a kovah of a rabbi. They wanted to know what kind of rabbi it was. So they wanted to see how he davened, how he shuckled. And he was shuckling right from left.
Okay, there are different guys. There are different hugging. In Chaim Berlin,
the Rashi sits on the right side. Okay, Chaim Berlin, on the right side. And Young Israel, my father, sat on the right side. I honestly don't think that when they designed the shul, Young Israel, it doesn't matter a practical decision where is a practical place to put the Aron, to put the Amud, the Amud, where the rabbi sits. A lot of shul.
The rabbi sat here, your father sat on the left side.
On the right side.
Oh,
yeah, you're talking about downstairs. Downstairs.
Upstairs.
I'm not thinking of the old shoe.
Depends whether
the
old
shoe. I'm thinking back to the old shoe. I'm like, right. Then
when
they built the downstairs, you can sit on the left. On the left. That was a practical thing they did. There was absolutely no cheshbon that went into the deciding in the Young Israel where the rabbis were. Guaranteed. There was no cheshbon. It was just a practical matter. And most shoes are like that. Some shoes. They have cheshbonis. In the yeshiva world, it seems, if I'm not mistaken, in the yeshiva world, I can't tell you for sure, but it seems that the Rosh Hashiva sits on the right.
You know, like here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
they sit on the right.
His seat is on this side.
On the right. Like the senior Rosh Hashiva, the one that
when you say the right, you mean the right of the Aron Kodesh?
Yes, the right of the Aron Kodesh.
Okay. That means when you look,
in voyeurism, it was on the left.
We demonstrate. So when you're tilting, you're going to be tilting. You're going to be tilting to the tzofain, to the left, to the where the money is.
Rav Aaron sits over
here. Rav Aaron who? Yes, on the right side. He said the right side of the Aron HaKodesh. Rav Hudna sat on the right side. Rav Hudna was very into this. That you can be sure of. That whatever he did with the calculation. I can't imagine that in this shul they had such deep. Maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Greenberg. There were calculations in this shul, but the rabbi sits on the left side.
Yeah,
down here, but upstairs I think he's on the right side.
Upstairs, that's right. Upstairs on the right side. On the right side.
On the left side.
On the left side.
Schwab sat on the right side for the first year until he moved into the after the
Right, Breuer.
Yeah.
Then he moved to the left side.
Because he was always on the right side as a co-rabbi.
A co-rabbi, right? Okay. Yeah. Alright, these things I don't think people take it so seriously, but very, very seriously. But there's a general rule. Okay, Mr. Murillo, there's a general rule. This is what it says in the old books: is that the ideal place for the rabbi should be on the left side, because the left side, when he turns to the Aron HaKodesh, he's turning to the south, and the south is where the menorah is located. The menorah represents Chochmas HaTorah. You don't want a rabbi that is focusing on money. If the rabbi is sitting on the right side of the Aron HaKodesh, and when he tilts towards the Aron HaKodesh, which is the respectful thing to do, he's facing Mizrach, but he's tilting towards the Aron HaKodesh, then he's tilting towards the north. Haroitzeh le lahashir yatspin. If you want to get rich, so you turn towards when you daven.
Like when he's sitting on the left side, when he has the red
pino, yeah,
towards the Aron HaKodesh, he's pino le gemino.
What? If you're on the
Aron HaKodesh is on like this side,
right?
Then I'm pointing at you when I want to look at the.
So you're going towards the north.
To get north south.
No, that doesn't count. Poinel yimin, that's not a factor. No, Chazal, no, but Chazal said, Haroitze lahachkin yadrim. Haroitze lahashir yatspin. No, but that's the ikar. The ikar, is, there's no kina called pinjat the point. There's not a din called pin. It's a din of becoming, of emphasizing money versus emphasizing chokhmah. It says Chazal, Haroitze lahachkin yadrim. Haroitze lahashir lahashir yatspin. So and when you're facing Mizrach, you generally when you daven you're facing Mizrach, but you have a right when you're davening to turn to a certain angle. If your focus is on Kesef, you turn to the left. If you focus on Chochmah, you turn to the right. A rabbi is sitting in the front. You're not going to go turn away from the Aron HaKodesh. You're only going to turn towards the Aron HaKodesh. So you have to arrange it that when you're going to turn, when you're going to tilt towards the Aron HaKodesh, you're tilting either to the Doraim or to the Tzafayim. It's not a covet for the Rav to go turn towards the Tzafayim as if he's saying my primary focus is on the money.
And that's why the president sits on the other side, because his primary
is the money. That's right. That's correct. That's what his role is. That is correct. That's what his role is. Every person has their role. The role of the president is to guarantee the Mal Klal Yisrael. There's the Kohen Gadol and there's the Melech. The Kohen Gadol is in charge of Torah, and the Melech is in charge that the bills are paid, that the streetlights are illuminated at night, and the roads are clean, the sanitation is working, to pay the bills, 100%. Everyone has their role. The role of the president is to make sure the bills are paid. The role of the rabbi is to make sure that everything is kehalacha. And the Zir Shemayim. Haroitze lahachkim, that's the job of the rabbi. Haroitze lahash, that's the job of the president. That's
so
why.
That's how you buy your seat, the Rosh Hashanah. You have to buy your own.
Listen, right, we all know that these are very lofty ideals which in the world of practicality go out the window. And it's all where every shul is different, and there this is not the only mahalich. Like I told you, in many of the yeshivas, they don't do that, they don't hold from this. The senior Rashiva will sit on the right side. The right side is more choshev. The right, that's more choshev. You don't think about it. Lahatspin, yadrim, That doesn't, it'll interpret that in a different way. The right side is the more choshuva side, and that's why you see many shuls that the Rav sits on the right side. Because the right is more choshuv.
Like, you're sitting here, the right side is over there?
Correct. The right side of the Orion. The right side of the Orion.
Facing
the Orion, not facing the Olam. Not facing the Olam. No, not facing the Olam. When you're davening Shmoyne, the determination when you're davening Shmoyne Esh, when you're Oymeid Lifnei HaMelech, when you're Oymeid Lifnei HaMelech, you're facing frontwards. Then you get into the big sugi when it comes to Chosn Kala. Who do they face? Do they face forward or do they face the Olam, the Tzibur? So our minhag today, you go to a wedding hall, where are the Chosn Kala facing? Who are they facing? The Olam. Where is the Chosn standing? The Chosn is based on the left, the Chosn himself. The Chosn, he's to his right. This pasuk, what does this pasuk over here says? Nitzva shegal li mincha. Chosn doime lemelech. When the Chosn faces the Olam, where is his kala? Where is the Chosn's kala? On his right. Okay. Now let's say the Chosn and kala would face forwards. They would face forwards. And you would have the room arranged the way it's typically arranged, is where the men are on the right and the women are on the left, and it's no good. Then the Chosn, when he's facing forward, the way that it's typically set up, then the Chosn is on the right side and the Kala is on the left side. Oh, but it says here, Binois Malachim Bikroi Secha, Nitzva Shegal Leminicha. A chosn is doimel lemelech, and a melech, the kala, is supposed to be on the right side, not on the left side. So what do you do in that case? Everyone reverse. And the male, if you go to a shul, you go to a place, I think this is what the taka they do, you go to a place where by the Masada Kedushin, the chosn and kala are going to be facing forwards, they're not going to be facing backwards. Their back is going to be to them. The rabbi is going to be in the front, and the rabbi is going to face the oilam like they do by the goyim. The goyim of the churches, the rabbi, they face forwards, and the priest faces the oilam. So if you're going to a place with the minig, there are kehilas with the minig is that the chosn kala face forwards, and their back is to the oilam. Then it should be that the men should sit on the left, and the women should sit on the right. That way, the chosn will be standing on the left, and the kala will be on the right.
What's the difference where the island with the men?
Because typically it looks funny. You're right, it doesn't make a difference. But typically, if the chosn is going to be on the left, so the men are on the left. If the kala, it doesn't make a difference. You can do the other way around, of course. But I've seen that. I've seen something done like that. Is the determining factor is this is their party. If he's going to, the chosn is going to stay on the left, all the men are on the left. If the kala is going to stay on the right, all the, and if like what we do today is the other way around. We do the other way around is that they face us. The chosn kala face us. The mela by the chosn kala, the kala is to his right, based on this pasuk. Nitzva shegal lemincha. Memela, that's why when you go to a wedding, men on the right, women on the left, because after the chosn kala march down, they're going to reverse and they're going to face the olam. And when they face the olam, we want it to be that the chosn is going to be on his left and the kala will be to his right. So since the kala is going to be to his right, memela, we're going to arrange it that the women should be on the left, which will be to the right of the kala, to make it come out. The ikur is the pasuk. The ikur is nitzva shegal lemincha. That's the ikar. Okay, now what about in a shul? It gets complicated in a shul. Because in a shul, chugas ha'amim, the very makbis. Today we do this even in a wedding hall. But in a shul, certainly the minig is where the chosn kala face the oilam, so it should not be the chugas ha'amim, because by the goyim, it seems, in their times, the chosn, the bride and groom would face forwards. So in order that if we make a wedding in a shul, it should not be chukos amim, is a hakpada that the chosn kala should face the tzibur. We anyway do that today in the wedding halls.
We don't do, there's a lot of sadhana that won't be the sadhana in a shul.
In a shul, because they hold it chukos amim. Okay, so bottom line is, we have a pasuk, it's a very powerful pasuk of Shegal Limin, Nitzva Shegal Limincha. We've given a couple of examples. Example of Chosan Kala, example of the Gabai versus the Oile and the Baal Kriya. Then we even discussed the Oile and the Baal Kriya, right and left. A Rebbe and his students, when the Rebbe walks down the street, where is the student supposed to stand? On the left side. The Rebbe is supposed to be on the right, and the student is supposed to stand on the left. It makes a difference. Amoid liyimini, because we said by the Gabbai, a Rebbe and a Talmud, a chosin kala, a rabbi in a shul. Does the rabbi stand and sit on the right side of the Aron Kodesh, the left side? Everything has a makar. Everything has a reason. Nothing just happens by chance. At least it's supposed to be. Everything, this is a very powerful pasuk because it makes an emphasis of where the kala is, the shegal limincha. Okay, it's very late. We're going to stop over here, take a short break, and then we'll do something else.